It's very important that we preach the word of God to you. You know what? Salvation comes through listening to the gospel, hearing the gospel, understanding it, having God change you in some way because of the word that you received. A lot of people think people come to church to hear somebody speak. You hear somebody speak, oh, they're a good speaker. Then you go home and then that's it. No, the reason you come to hear this word is because it's the gospel. Gospel means good news. It's the good news of who? Of Christ. It's the good news of Christ. So a lot of people don't know anything about Christ. They don't know anything about God in their life, you know? And so it's important for us to understand that the gospel means much to us. The gospel is spiritual. Yes, we stand here and speak words as men and say what we say and whatever. But the words we speak unto you, they are quickened by the Spirit of God. It says that. I think it's John 6:63. It starts off by saying, it's the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are truth. Wow, that's a mouthful, isn't it? So it's the Spirit that quickeneth. In other words, quickeneth in the Old English, as we read from King James, means to give life. If something's quickened to you, that means God's given you life. Wait a minute, we call that understanding, don't we? We say, I understand something now that I didn't understand before. The Bible doesn't say that. It says he's quickening you. If you can understand a word that I preach to you spiritually about what God means when he says that word, then you have been quickened. You have been given life. That's a segment of it. You know, it's just like putting seeds in the ground. We put a lot of seeds in the ground, and those farmers say what? They hope all of them come up, don't they? They put the seeds in the ground. But here's the thing. It takes time for a seed, doesn't it? When they put the seed in the ground, they don't go out there the next day and say, okay, look for a crop. That's just not realistic. They put it in the ground. They water it. They make sure it gets the sunlight. It gets the you know, all the nutrients it needs, all of those things, you know, fertilizer, everything, so that it can grow. There was a guy I was reading about. He holds the record. I can't remember what it was. I think it's per acre of what he planted in corn. He gets for his acreage. It's some huge amount that he gets. And he won the prize for producing the most on his land. He's very proud of being a farmer. But I thought about that spiritually. You know, somebody that can spread word and you have a great crop so that you're even recognized for having the greatest crop. Guess who did that for us? Jesus did. He planted that word and the seed is still going through the whole world right now. I'd say that's the greatest crop, isn't it? He planted seeds in the hearts of men and people are still coming to Jesus every day. The best-selling book in the world is the Bible. You see how this works? So that seed must have been pretty powerful, huh? So what he's doing for us is telling us that I want you to know my word, because by you knowing my word, you're going to know me. Doesn't the scripture say, in the beginning was the word? The word was with God, and the word was God. Yeah, and we found out that in the Greek, when you say when the word was God, it means it became God. I said, wait, I've never heard that before. Yeah, go look it up. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. That was God means it became God. God in who? In you. That word that was preached became God in you. People are always looking for God to come from someplace into them. No. God created you. He breathed you as a breath of life from the beginning. You are a spoken word of God spiritually. We are spiritual people in human bodies, right? So if he spoke it by his spirit from the beginning, and he's a spirit, doesn't it say he's a spirit? I think it's 4:24, 4:23 and 24 of John. It says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him, have to worship him how? in spirit and in truth. And then it turns around and says, for the Father what? Seeketh such to worship him. Why would it say that? Well, he says, I'm a spirit. I created you by spirit. I breathe you to an existence by spirit. You're spiritual people because you're really the spirit in here. This is just an outside covering. So if you're spirit and I'm spirit and you're partaking with me, then the word I speak unto you is going to enhance the spirit that's in you, right? That's exactly what it does. You grow in wisdom and stature in God. It's all part of what God said from the beginning. So he said, this is, you're part of me. I am your Father. You are my children. Isn't that what it says? Is God our Father? Are we his offspring? I think the 17th chapter of Acts says, and we are his offspring. In him we live and move and have our being. Oh, no, I do all this by myself. You live by yourself, huh? You gave life to yourself, huh? Is that what you do? No, it says, in him we live and move, actually have our movement and have our very being, our existence is all by him. That 17th chapter of Acts is a nice one to read because it tells you that. And it says, we are his offspring. So if we're the offspring of God, what are we, the children of God? Are we the sons and daughters of God? Very simple. You have offsprings, you have babies, you have children, you have sons and daughters, don't you? They are your offspring. Spiritually, God says we are his offspring. And we belong to him because God is a spirit. And that spirit can be in every one of us at the same time. Because we're talking about a powerful God, aren't we? Pretty powerful. Didn't Dan preach to us last Sunday that what God did, he wrote the words of God in your heart. Wait. So he pulled your heart out of your chest and wrote on it with ink, huh? We know it doesn't mean that, right? What does it mean? Is it spiritual? He wrote the words of God in your heart. When we talk about the heart, we're not talking about this thing beating in your chest. We're talking about the center of your being, your consciousness, how you think. You know, don't we say things, oh, I love that person in my heart. You know, don't we do spiritual things like that? Don't we say that? We don't mean that you're pulling the heart out and putting the love for that person in it. What we mean is that in our very consciousness, in our thought, in our mind, we love that person. What makes you think God's any different? In the consciousness of God, he loves you. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. He proved his love. And it wasn't that we loved him first. What did the scripture say? Is that he loved us first, which is why he sent his son to die for us. So he showed his love long before we showed ours. And then it says in 1 John, I think it's the 4th chapter, it says, God is love. That's the whole makeup of God is love. And we're not talking about what man calls love here. Whew. Man can say love here and then turn around and kill you. Oh, I love you. Well, you just made me upset. Let me kill you now. You know, it's not like the love that man talks about. God loves us in spite of our sins, in spite of our mistakes, in spite of the things we do wrong. He always gives us a chance to do what? Repent. That's what he died for. That's what the blood is for, to cleanse us. And how many of you ever heard of blood cleansing anything and making it clean and white? Blood doesn't do that. All the blood I ever spilled and put on towels and stuff, it was very hard to get that out. Very hard, huh? But when you start talking spiritually about God, it says his blood cleanses us. What's he cleansing? Our very being, our consciousness, what we are in our inner man, he cleanses it. He cleans our thoughts up. How many would like to have your thoughts cleaned up? I want all my thoughts cleaned up. I don't want to have bad thoughts. I don't want to have evil thoughts. Now, will they come? Sure, it's unrealistic to think that they wouldn't. Will they come? But do we have the power to overcome them? Through who? Through Christ. He gives you the power to overcome those things. So we can overcome evil with good. Can we do that? Do you know where we get the word good from? It's the old English word for God. So good is God. Didn't God say he was good? He did. He did say he was good. So what we have to do is have to understand what that really means. It's not like what man says. oh, that's good over there. No, no, no. When we talk about good concerning God, we're talking about how God loves us, takes care of us, heals us, blesses us. You see how this works? And in turn, what do? We trust him. We're obedient to him. Ah, see how that goes? We believe him. We are strengthened by him. We get wisdom from him. We get understanding from him. We get the Spirit from him. We get love from him, the love from heaven. Don't we do those things? I can just keep going on in the list. God gives us all of that. Everything we need, he said he supplies according to his riches in glory. Doesn't he say that? So all we have to do is be believers, huh? If we're going to be believers, we're going to continue with him. We're going to follow him. We're going to do what God says to do. So Dan was talking about last week about how God wrote the word in our heart. This is spiritual. And he wrote in our heart so that what? We always have it with us. Now, how was it done in the old days? How was the law of God done in the old days? What? Remember when Moses came? All of you know the story of Moses, right? And he comes on the scene, whatever. He goes up to the mountain. You remember? I think it's Mount Sinai. He goes up on Mount Sinai, and God gives him what we call the Ten Commandments, right? How many of you know that when he gave it to him, that Moses didn't write it down? He did not write it down. How did he get on those stones? How did he get on those tablets? God put it on there. If you go and read, I think it's the 34th chapter of Exodus, it says God wrote it with the finger of God, then gave it to him. So who wrote the Ten Commandments? The finger of God. God did. And he gave it to Moses to give to the people. Isn't that how it worked? Moses got so mad at the people, though. Why? He comes down off the mountain after spending 40 days and 40 nights up there talking with God, gets the Ten Commandments. God writes with the finger of God, starts to come back down. He hears a party going on. Doesn't Joshua tell him? He says, hey, I hear the noise of war over there. And Moses said, no, that's not the noise of war. That's the noise of somebody partying, having a good time, you know. And so he comes down, and what are they doing? Are they worshiping a false idol down there? Didn't they give Aaron all of their gold and everything, and he puts it in a pot, and he makes a calf, a golden calf. And they say that calf is what rescued them from Egypt, when the whole time it was God that rescued them. Remember the Red Sea parting, Pharaoh chasing them, the whole deal. God did all that delivery. God did that. He sent Moses to deliver. But they said that calf that they made inside that pot is what delivered them. Patty, that's got to be pretty stupid. The thing that you took off of your earring and your necklace and melted in a pot, and then you form it, you say, that's what delivered us. That's what parted the Red Sea. That's what drowned Pharaoh's army. That's what did all the 10 miracles and the plagues in there. That calf you just formed with your own hands. Didn't make sense, did it? Think it made God mad? It vexed him, made him mad, made Moses mad too. You know what he did? After he found them doing that and partying over this golden calf, he said, line them all up, Aaron, line them all up. Oh, there's trouble coming now. And he broke that thing into dust, fine particles, put it in water, and made them all drink it. He was upset. He was upset, and so was God, rightfully so, and made them all drink it. Well, I don't know about you, but if you have powdered gold and water, it's not going to make you feel good on the inside. It's a metal. But he made them drink it. He wanted them to remember, you don't do that. And then what did he have to do, guys? He had to go back up on the mountain again, spend another 40 days, and get the commandments and come back down. He had to do it over again because of the sin of the people. Wow. It's good to remember that, huh? Dan wrote about written in the heart, written in the heart. This writing takes place by holy men of God that God has chosen to deliver people. We call them apostles. We call them elders. We call them prophets. We call them all those teachers. Pastors, we have a lot of names for them, right? And this is what God has done. He's put people here, and he said, why does God need people? Well, God needs people to show, number one, that you can live godly and be a person. People say, that's impossible. Don't they say that? But Moses did it. Aaron did it. Jacob did it. Abraham did it. You see how that works? He has righteous people all through this. Get to the New Testament. Who does it? The apostles. All 12 apostles do it. Paul does it. But he's telling us that it's possible to live for me because I'll help you. I write this in your heart so that when you come up against sin, when you come up against things that'll cause you to do the wrong thing, when you come up against evil, you have it with you. It's actually my son being the word in you. My spirit is in you. This is written in your heart. If he's the word and the word is in you, can that word come against the evil that comes against you? And it's spiritual. Remember what we said? So it's written in the heart. Now, he chose certain people to do this, men and women. How many of you know that Deborah was one of the judges in the book of Judges? A woman. And she led Israel to overcome the enemy. You see how this works? How many of you know about Esther that saved the whole the whole kingdom of Israel from being destroyed by the Medes and the Persians? Wow. There have been people, God uses men and women that believe in him and that trust him. And you know what? God draws alongside them, and you see great things that happen in the Bible, the great exploits that they do. And you say, wow, man, what a story. David and Goliath. Yeah, everybody knows all of that. But what a story. But where'd they get their power from? You think the word was written in their heart? You think they believe God? Isn't that part of believing God? You accept his word. You accept his spirit and you believe him. I'm going to read you something from the third chapter of 2 Corinthians. This is very powerful. This continues Dan's message, really. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul is talking to the Corinthian church. And you notice the book is called 2 Corinthians. So obviously there's a 1 Corinthians book, right? The 1 Corinthian books is when Paul goes to Corinth and he preaches the church out, whatever. But then the church starts to get carnal again. In other words, they've learned about God, but then they say, let's go back to some of our old ways again. Let's go back to believing the law. Let's go back to doing what we feel like doing, you know? And so he writes this stern letter to him, saying, that's not what I preach to you. I preach the Spirit of God to you. Why are you going back? So 1 Corinthians is kind of tough. He tells them all kinds of things about what they should be doing right. And he said, this is not what I preach to you. I'm paraphrasing here. 2 Corinthians, he writes, he's more conciliatory because he's pretty hard in the first one. And he's more conciliatory. And he says, look, I'm sorry I made you sorry by what I said. But then again, I'm not sorry. If it made you do the right thing, good. That's what I meant for it to do. Yeah, I was kind of rough on you, but did you do the right thing? Did you correct your course and started doing the right thing? Yes. That's why I like that song this morning. Did you wake up? Yeah, you woke up. You woke up and realized you were going back the wrong way and that letter helped you to go the right way. Well, now I'm writing you 2 Corinthians. And I'm telling you, I'm more conciliatory, but I'm still just as strong about you serving God. Okay? He's telling them this. Now, let's go to the third chapter of 2 Corinthians. And he starts talking about, the very first part says, do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? People say, okay, what's he talking about? Starting right off, what is this stuff? You know how when people come to a church, whatever, they say, well, so-and-so recommended me to you so that I can speak to you. And so-and-so recommend. Guess what he says? He said, God recommended me. And I spoke to you. I don't need any commendation from any man. I'm telling you, God sent me to speak to you. We established the church. Look at what God has done for you in the time that it's been established, you know? And so, but then he turns around, he says, and there's one more witness of me being commended to you. And he looks out at the congregation, he says, you are our epistle. You're the very epistle of the word. God gave me the word for you. You became the word. And look at you. There's a church established. Look at what you're doing right now. Guess what? You're a recommendation for me. Because God's word that was in me, I preached to you, and look what happened. So look at yourselves. You're all epistles. You're a recommendation for me because you're here. You're a church that's been established. That's my recommendation. Look at the result of what God did. That's powerful to me saying that. That's what he's saying here. He says, ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. There's that heart thing again, written again. Oh, wait a minute. Are your souls written in this heart here called Pastor Kenny? Yes, it is. And I hope my soul is written in these hearts called Chris and Claudette and Patty. You see how it works? Are we workers one of another, working with one another? Do we love one another? Are we all part of the same body of Christ? So are we written in each other? Ah, written in the heart. We all belong to God. We're written in his heart. Does God have a heart? Yes, he does. Because we're not talking this thing beating in your chest, like I said. We're talking about his very consciousness in him. In the imagination of God, are you existing there? In the thought of God, are you existing? Yes. And does he exist in you? Yes. It's reciprocal, isn't it? Very good thing. Written in the heart. Wow. So Paul says, you know what? Your epistle, you being living letters that I established for God using me, you prove that I'm recommended. You're proving it by just being here. You are the epistles to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us. Notice what he said, minister. Did he minister to them for them to be that? Yes, ministered by us. You're proof. You're proof of the recommendation. You're the living proof. You're the living epistles. Written not with ink. Oh, remember what I said. Written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Wow. Not in tables of stone like Moses had before, remember? But in fleshy tables of the heart. He said, this is real now. This is real now. We're not writing it on stone anymore, Laura. You know what God decided to do? He said, now, since y'all didn't keep the stone one that I had up there, you didn't keep the commandments, why not let my son's spirit be in you? Let's write it in your heart now to where it's right there with you. You don't have to go look at some stone set up on a desk or something to know what the commandments are. You don't have to know how that is, how my mind thinks toward you. Now you're going to know it because my spirit is in you and it's written in your heart. Does that make sense? Do you think now you understand more what Dan told us last week? It's written in the heart. It's written. God wrote this in us. And God must love us an awful lot to write this in our hearts, to have his presence with us. Doesn't it say the Son of God is within you? So he put his Son there, who is the living word, so that you can say, I have God with me, always. Is there a time God's ever separated from us? No. Do we feel like that sometimes? Because why? Because bad things are happening? Because we're going through trial and tribulation? Oh, God's not here. Yes, the time he's there. That's the very time he's there. You think that's the time he's going to abandon you? No. The time that you're having trouble is when God is right there. But guess what the problem is? We're not looking for him. We're so stuck on the trouble, on the problem, right? Oh, we're paying attention to the problem. That's taking up all our mind and all the thought. How am I going to figure this out? How am I going to do this? And God's standing there, you know, just kind of, When you finally get rid of all that crap that you're saying and thinking in your mind, come back. I'm here. I haven't gone anywhere. We neglect to turn to God. That's in us. We don't turn to that written word, do we? The living word. He lives in us. We don't turn to it. You know what we do? We worry about the problem. We worry about the problem. We worry about the problem. We have tribulation. We have trouble. We don't think about what God is doing. We don't think about the promises he made to us that he would take care of everything. And God will. He will. You know how I know that? Because he's done it for me. And some of you have the same testimony. He's done it for you. Isn't that cool? God does it. Do we have to have approving of some of the things that's going on in us? Does God have to prove our faith? Are we going to believe in him? That's what God wants. So people say, I don't want to be proved. Oh, you don't? Well, then don't drive your car anymore because they got to prove everything on that works. You see how it works? Don't live in your house anymore. They got to prove that the roof is going to stay on and that has a good foundation, Chris, right? So don't live. You're not going to trust that. Okay, you're not going to trust God, then don't trust that. You see where I'm going with this? God wants us to understand that we are part of him. And he's not going to deny himself. Doesn't the scripture actually say that? He cannot deny himself. If we're part of him and he's in us, how can he deny that? But what he can do is have you believe in him and then respond to your belief by faith, by your obedience, by your trust. He said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding. Doesn't it say that? Do we do that? Trust in the Lord with your whole heart? Have you given everything to him? Do you believe that? Ah, that's just a saying. Really? I tell you what, I've trusted God. I've been in some bad fixes, and I trusted God in it. And guess how it worked out, Laura? I still had to go through it, but God brought me out. Whew. Haven't we, Mom? We've been through some things, and God brought us out every time. Wow. So what I'm trying to tell you is, written in the heart. Oh, we haven't finished this. We'll talk about it some more Wednesday night on our Bible study here. And you can ask questions and do whatever you want to do. You know, we're just going to come and talk some more about it. I want you to understand that God is with you. He's written his word in his heart, which is his, himself. In the beginning was the word. Where was with God? The word what? Became God. Became God where? In you. And I'll let you know a little secret. It's making you become something too. Are you going to become like him? That's the secret. That's the secret right there. So he's written it in your heart, huh? Paul said, I don't have to make no proof of my ministry. You're all the proof of my ministry. You're here. The church is established. God did something. Did God do something for us to be here? Oh, yeah. So you're the proof of my ministry. You're the epistles that are written, just like Paul's, right? You got it too, bro. Have you spoken words to this congregation? Yeah. So are they your epistle? They are. You're mine. That's a good thing, huh? Does that make me some great big poopah or something? No. All I am is a servant of God. And this is what God does with his servants. He uses them to perfect the church. That's what we're here for. Not to be raised up and be some high-minded thing and to be rich, have tons of money and tons of houses and cars and all that stuff. He didn't raise us up for that. He raised us up to speak word to you so that you can live with him and be part of him. Does that make sense? So we got to have the right attitude, don't we? If we're going to be a minister for you to be the epistles of ours, we got to have a right attitude. We got to be humble. We got to be obedient to God. We have to follow God. Wherever he goes, we go. Wherever he tells us to go, we go. Whatever he tells us to speak, we speak. You see, whatever he tells us to do, we do. Why? Because his son did that. And what are we? We're his sons too. And daughters. We are too, aren't we? So are we going to be obedient that way? Yes. God's doing great stuff for us, guys. Written in the heart. Think of your heart. God's written this in you. Hope you got something out of what we said today.